It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Max, I will be here all next week. Mastro's is where I would like my dinner for that next week. Woo! That you have.
Get him. Oh, we going to Mastro's?
He thought I forgot about the bet.
Oh, yeah.
He thought
nice.
I forgot about the
Let's
bet.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Mastro,
you know, Max,
I love
Max pay going out at night. He don't be going out that much at night. This is good.
I pay up. I should have to get him dinner and breakfast after that free throw. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Held on to that one.
Harry Douglas in for Key today. Yeah, he's got a dinner coming, that's for sure.
He's been waiting for that one.
I forgot all about it.
Not when it comes to money or food.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to forget about it when we have a camera, we have these mics.
Oh, you should
heard
it. Yesterday, Jeremy Fowler came on our show. This whole time he's been doing stuff remote. I'm like, yo, spit some lyrics. He's like, I only do that when I come in studio. His ass came in studio yesterday. I said, it's time, Jeremy. I remember.
Do we have the sound from Jeremy yesterday?
Yeah, we do have the sound. He tried. You know, we start trying to catch the beat. You're like, yo.
I'm just saying, as I say, the dude looks like he's in a barbershop quartet. But he had but here's the thing. It's not that he had bars. He freestyled. He did it on
Max,
but he did it on live radio and TV. Okay, you listen, Harry.
Yeah, let me
Does this count? Jeremy Fowler.
I am waiting, Jeremy, for you to drop us some bars.
Hey. I'm not really going to do this.
I know he likes this one.
All right. Yes. We're on KJM. You know I play above the rim.
J. Will, pass me the rock. I'm saying that counts.
Come
Does
on,
it count,
man.
Yes or no?
That's some fifth grade rhymes, man.
No kidding.
He tried, but I have to say this. That's too hard of a beat for Jeremy not to go
hard. You got to go that hard was, that, on
that's
that.
That's the type of beat you pray and wish
the hardest
for.
Thing on, to, work, to do cycle. In the world is to freestyle on live radio and TV, especially on a Disney.
Without saying certain words.
Yeah, so it's no, that's what I'm saying. That's why the freestyle
Max.
Is hard, because when you think about what freestyle basically is, you're just
Max.
Talking a pile of mess.
Yeah. Lyrically, you think Jeremy Fowler is going to be dropping curse words in bars?
Yeah, I think if he was off air, I think he would.
I think you're projecting what you would do lyrically
well, I certainly
on
would,
Jeremy
yeah.
Fowler. You would, not Jeremy.
All right.
A for effort, though.
It's, yeah. You know, even rap lyrics, period. When you're, if you're just messing around on live air, you've got to be careful. Wait, did he say, whoa, no, can't say that.
Facts.
All right.
Above the rim. Jeez.
Ask you guys, me to rock.
Seaport is a spot.
Jay said,
Yeah. Try to hype him up, Yates.
So you see Steph at the ESPYs yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, listen, here's the thing about when you host something like that, you got a bunch of canned jokes. You know what's coming. But in terms of in that setting, given what the circumstances were and what is expected of the performer, he did it. He pulled it off.
But by the way, this is Steph's alter ego. Like, don't get it twisted. Steph is that dude that obviously when he won the chip, he was like, what are they going to say now?
Mm.
You know, directed towards Max Kellerman pretty much.
Yeah. Jay,
Skip
you would
Ellison,
agree.
Guys
that,
like that.
You would agree that I was the one, more than anyone, pushing the fact. I was the first one to talk about
yes.
it, and I talked about that he hadn't won a finals MVP. So what you're admitting now is that not only am I the inspiration for Tom Brady, but also
hilarious.
Steph Curry. Is that what you're telling me?
If you like to bring it back to you, yes.
Well, no,
sure
I agree
do.
With that because he was Max that led Tom Brady to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was Max that led Steph Curry to win another NBA
See
championship.
See the man in the arena?
But not just win an NBA championship, win finals MVP.
How come you didn't name him by name then?
That's fine. Now, you don't have to always name. You don't have to name drop every time.
You know why, Jay?
He's never name dropped.
Jay, you know why? You don't want to punch down.
You don't want to punch down.
You don't want to punch down. You like, never want to
I'm
punch down. It's always
down
a bad
Max's
look.
Level.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, he gave some punches last night. He gave one to LeBron. He gave one to Grant Williams.
Ooh.
I mean, from the Celtics, who was in the stands watching. Oh, it was legit.
All right, listen to Steph.
I am the second NBA player to host this award show, which is kind of crazy to think about. LeBron James, he hosted this award show back in 2007 after losing in the NBA Finals. So, yes, you guessed it. This feels better.
I'm saying. Just saying. He told Grant Williams, you know, he's wearing colors. He can, you know, he can borrow it later because he was wearing green, colors of the Celtics, and he had a ring, but he can hold on to that one later too. You know, this is who Steph is to me. Like, he has this image, like he's the golden boy, he's the family guy, all this, which he is, but there's also this other side of him that is, he gets slighted in every small way, and he holds on to it.
But that's,
and he's
listen,
vindictive. That's Harry, what you love about him.
That's why, to me, like, because Perk got it twisted on this just in, terrific show, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN, by the way, handsome host. Perk got it twisted on this just in the other day when he was like, Max, you and I were the only two who really doubted and da-da-da. It's not an issue of doubt for me. It's an issue of I haven't seen you do it yet, right? Let me see you be the best player in the series, and because of you, your team wins. That's what the greatest who ever lived do, the top 10 players of all time. And he did it. He did it. But that killer that you're talking about that's in there, mm-hmm. that's what I was waiting to see. Harry, that's what I want to see from a guy like Steph. It's crunch time. Now all the slights and everything, go ahead. Shut everybody up.
But I will say this. It get misconstrued a lot because a lot of people think Steph Curry doesn't have this mentality of a I don't want to say a killer.
You just say misconstrued?
Yeah, as opposed to construed.
Like yeah.
Construed.
Like misconstrued.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Screwed.
You know what I mean, Jay. You got me. You went to Duke. I went to Louisville. All right?
In Louisville. Nice now. In Louisville, that is correct.
Hey, I like that. That sounds right.
In Louisville, that is correct.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
But for a guy like Steph, who's smaller than a lot of other like big name players,
yeah,
he light skinned. People think, you know how people, okay, we're going to try Steph because he light skinned. Listen, Steph is no punk. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I know. Steph has it in him now. He has that dog in him. And you see it night, and Steph going to put you to sleep whenever he wants to put you to sleep. And that's what he did to the Boston
Celtics.
Did he
not want to put him to sleep in 2016 in the finals?
Stop,
I think
Max,
that would have been a good time to put someone to sleep.
Max, we're not doing that. Stop. We're not doing that
But
this
what
morning.
I mean is, it is an evolution. I don't think this is, Steph could always do this and now he did it. There's an evolution to a player. Some dudes, day one, they're ready to tear your heart out in the moment of truth, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't Steph. Steph had to evolve into that. And I think part of it is, I look at Clayton Kershaw on baseball. Regular season, probably the best pitcher who ever lived. Okay, you look at because you look at like Cy Young, second place Cy Young, second place, like every year just dominant. Playoffs, to me, it looked like not that he was scared or something, but he wanted it too much. He was wound too tight, and so he couldn't just kind of be himself. And I thought that was true of LeBron early in his career. I thought that was true of Steph. They were tight. And as they aged, they relaxed a little bit and got better under pressure. Both of those guys.
I don't think it was about being tight.
Steph was tight either.
That first chip that they won, he was just on the court next to the second or first greatest player the game of basketball has ever seen, which you can make the case that Bron should have won an MVP, which you can still make the case today after watching Bron at the damn Drew League, that when Bron is still on the court,
he's the best player
in the
world.
He still is the best player on the court at 37 years old.
No, Jay, I get that. Oh, no, I get that. Bron, of course. But there was no one on the Cavs. There was no, like, the Cavs didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love.
But Steph was crewed up. So I want you to think about your comment, because we talked about this before, and the last time I'm going to unpack it, to pack it back in, put a bow around it. So we said that LeBron should have been the MVP in that series, right? Because the numbers were ridiculous he had in that series they lost because he had nobody else. So think about it. The numbers are ridiculous. So then they gave the MVP to Andre Iguodala, who guarded the guy whose numbers were ridiculous. Right, but Steph's numbers still scoring wise.
No, but why do you wait? Stop right there, Jay. Because someone at The Athletic just wrote about this. There were 11 voters for MVP, and Steph's level of play was such that not a single one of them felt they could give him the vote for MVP. Seven went to Iguodala, four went to LeBron.
That leads into a conversation about, are the voters basketball people?
But like, Jay, out of 11 of them,
I understand what you're saying, but I watched that series. And as a basketball person who's been with other basketball people,
you'd have given Steph the MVP.
Yes, I would have.
Over LeBron.
No, I've already made mention that I thought LeBron was the best player on the court. But I'm not going to give it to
a guy
who loses in the series unless Jerry West is the only guy who's ever done that. And still, I can make a claim about that.
Yeah.
But
what claim is that?
If I am giving it to the guy on the winning team, I would not have given it to Andre Iguodala.
Okay.
It's not a smack on Andre Iguodala. It was Stephen Curry.
But this I agree
is what
with
I'm,
that.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying. What the voters are really telling you, What they're really telling you is LeBron is the best player in the series. We have to give it to him. It's unfair to give it to anyone else. So even voting for Iguodala, what they're saying is if the thing is that I have to vote for the dude on the winning team, my conscience won't let me not vote for him, then I'm going to show you that I'm still voting for LeBron because he's so much better than Steph. That's what they all did.
But see, this voting thing bothers me because I had a chance to work the Heisman last year. And you look at Will Anderson Jr., who led the nation in sacks and
politics,
TFLs,
man.
And didn't even get invited to the Heisman ceremony. That was the most bogus thing, I think, in college football history.
He'd have been the number one pick in the draft last year.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it to me.
Yeah. Who the voters are matter, my man.
Yeah, I hear you. Politics all 11.
Politics as usual.
What they're telling you.
I hear you, Jay-Z.
I'm just saying.
What they're telling you is Steph's play was inferior to his normal play, and we don't feel like we can give a guy
26, 27
because he's
NBA
the primary
finals.
Ball handler
Max,
on
Max.
The team. He's the highest usage
okay,
player.
It's okay that you're backed in a corner on this one and say
backed
he got
in a corner.
He got shammed. It's fine. He got shammed.
He did not.
He got robbed.
He did not.
Stop
Listen,
it.
Also,
he did absolutely
he got robbed
in 2015.
He should have had two finals MVPs.
No, he should not. LeBron should have been the MVP in that series. Obviously.
Fine, but he didn't get it.
Right, so Andre they gave it to the guy who guarded him because you couldn't give it to Steph. You weren't good enough.
So you gave it to the guy who guarded him and the guy averaged 35 points. What are you talking about?
We're going in circles now. What they're saying is we can't give it to a player whose play goes down under pressure.
I was unpacking it to pack it to put a bow around it, not to open it up.
Jay, between you and me, come on, who's the basketball expert? Stop already.
Yeah, you know who it is. The guy
coming up. What does James Harden's new deal say about him and his commitment to winning in Philly? I'll tell you. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I got to know what happened at this hotel. People keep telling me Harry's hotel escapades. What happened?
Last night, so I'm leaving Bristol, Connecticut, finished doing a show, come down here about 9:30 at night, go to check in at the AC Marriott right here. Close, you can walk to it, right? I go to check in. What's your name? Harry Douglas. Oh, that's what they told me. Oh, we cancel your reservation. I said, why would you cancel my reservation? The air condition broke on the floor that we're going to give you the room on, so we put you right next door at the Fairfield. I was like, how do you know that's even up to my standards? That's what I told them. How do you know that's up to my standards? I said, why didn't y'all try to contact me or email me or call me or let me know beforehand, because I would have had Disney Global Travel book me a different hotel. Oh, we don't have your information in the system. I've been staying at that hotel since August 2021 when I first started doing First Take. So I said, okay, let's go over to the other hotel.
Weird thing is I had a room at the same hotel, and I was fine. They just booked me right in. That's weird. So
there's a difference.
So they upgraded me.
I go over to the other hotel.
We'll take you to the presidential suite, Mr. Kellerman. Listen, you're over at the Fairfield.
This is my stint right here. You guys calm down. All right, I go over to the other hotel. I'm on the 22nd floor. Number one, it's not even a king-size bed. The bed is probably the size that my kids sleep in that are six and three. Tiny. Room's tiny. Hair on the bed,
oh.
Pillow, sheets not clean.
Oh. Stop.
That's not even the worst part. The air condition is broken in the room. I got it on. I have it on my phone. I recorded it. It was 83 degrees the entire night in my room. I had to sleep bucket naked.
No, not on the bed that had the hair on it.
I had no choice.
Oh.
I had to sleep no clothes on. I had to sleep just. I was sweating. The fire alarm starts going off at 11:30. Not to mention, I got to be up at 3:30 for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And Harry, we'll add myself in there now because I'm here.
Boop, 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 right. Boop, boop, boop.
I'll take all my stuff. I go down 22 flights of stairs with all my stuff in my hand for them to tell me, oh, it was a false alarm. I walk all the way back up 22 flights because the elevators weren't working.
No, stop.
Elevators weren't working.
Stop, you... What is this, like Ghostbusters? You're walking up
22 flights of stairs. And then you're walking into a room that's 83
degrees. 83 degrees.
Man, you got a hell of a workout. So, that's why you're sweating now.
So I got the assistant general manager's name and number, Jennifer Flan. I'm going to be emailing you. I'm going to be calling you because this is unacceptable.
Oh.
Unacceptable.
Fairfield put on blast. You got to take a sound clip
and
send
shower. I would have put the water on
this
cold
after
and
now,
slept in that.
I've been up since 3:30 yesterday to catch a flight, to go up to Bristol, do a show. I just spent 3 hours in the car to get down here to the city to hold
grinding.
It.
You hear that, ESPN?
So I'm
He's
tired.
Committed.
Grinding.
Pay this man.
Grinding. You know what I keep. All right, listen.
And then the cherry on top, my wife tells me that her grandmother is on life support. So that made it even worse.
Oh, my.
Probably stayed at the Fairfield.
It's my ID. Don't try me.
Oh, I hear you, Max.
Oh, this you Max. Hit me in my feels right now,
Max. Yates.
If I don't do
Yates, we need to make this happen. I need it to happen just one time.
What's up?
I know that there's profanity when you drop bars, I hear you randomly do it. I know in that big elephant brain of yours, there is a clean version. Can you please just give our audience a little snippet?
The only thing I ever do is quote my brother's, my
I know
late
you
great
do. I know you
lyrics.
Do, but can you just give a little snippet of it?
He looked at me like, should I do it?
Can you give a little snippet of it? I know you take the profanity out. Just let the people know what time it is.
Crime Casanova, got an autograph, wanted poster toast in my shoulder, hosting my style is close to Casa Nostra. Just like Ray Liotta, the mercenary soldier, pulling molars, taking domes clean off their shoulders. Order war. Oh, no, that's a slow beat.
That's a slow beat. See? Yeah, but no.
Yeah, do a slow beat. Go ahead.
We talking about the slow beat beneath my feet.
Order war in less than 30. I deliver it. Sometimes I got to pull trigger to run the syndicate. Some get ghosted with bullets and mercury overdoses. Some get roasted with plastic explosives. Some become ashes in the dustbin. Some get done. Blood be gushing in the Hudson.
What? Just bleep that joint out. I can't even drop the mic because the mic is hooked up to the floor.
We at Club Max, baby.
That's Max.
That's my late great brother Sam. Those lyrics are 25 years old.
Max,
that's the only thing I do.
I'm so hyped right now.
Only thing I do since then is quote him.
Oh my, your brother lyrically a genius, dog.
My brother burned down MCs on every block
genius,
in New York.
Man.
And by the way,
that's what
you could go
nowadays.
Talk to someone like Fab Five Freddy would tell
lyricists.
You that from back
Yo,
in the day.
Yo, man, we need that. I miss like going to clubs and just hearing two dudes freestyle and battle it out. Like, I miss those days, man.
That's why I used to love, what was the show, The Basement?
Yeah.
The guys used to go in the booth.
Just go in the booth?
I think Tigger just started it back.
Really?
He just started it back up, yeah.
Find out Tig running
in
the back, man.
You know Tigger in the A now.
Hey, really?
Yeah, A-Town, baby.
Thank you, Max, for blessing us.
So, no, thank my brother. James Harden declines his $47 million player option, guys. $47 million player option. Signs a new two-year deal that guarantees him $33 for next season. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Jay, I'm very cynical about the way people put spin on stuff. Number one, because it's a PR move. You want people to think well of you a lot of the time. And so you frame things in a way that puts you in a positive light. But number two, also because you want to think well of yourself. People have egos and people go into ego protection. So when I first heard Harden talk about I'm going to take less, I'm thinking, James, the market is what it is, and now you got to frame it this way, not only to put a positive spin on it, you know, for your brand, but also for yourself, right? Like, you're taking the high road. It's not just that you ain't that good anymore. But, so I'm cynical when I read this, and yet, he did decline of $47 million, you know, and he does get...
$14 million pay cut, right? And he has a player option for next year.
And yet, right, so the numbers, but the reason I say I'm cynical, Jay, is I'm always like, but wait a minute. 2-year deal that guarantees him 33 next year. What's he getting the year after that? And does he have something worked out? You know, I don't know.
35.6 next year with the player option. He can negotiate a new contract.
So that's essentially, he gets more money.
It's a 1-year deal, essentially. It's like an all in. Like, hey, okay,
yeah,
cool.
He got opt out.
Like, look.
But it's his option.
It's his option. That's what I'm saying.
So, Jay, the reason I'm being cynical is because he can say, and maybe it does dovetail, and it's doing two things at once. It does help them sign guys and everything, House and PJ Tucker. But really what it also does is get him an extra 20-something million and another year. And maybe the way he's feeling now, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to get that in 2 years.
Or Max, it could be a situation where it's, okay, cool. Like, this is how everybody feels. Let's get all the pieces. Let's build depth on their bench. Let me get my ass in shape. And when I come back and I destroy the league again with Joel Embiid, I want a Supermax.
See, that's what I think.
I want a Supermax.
I think it's that he looks at this, okay, I have a year to get right. We have a better roster. We got more guys to our bench. We're going to be deeper. We have opportunity to go to a championship. We have an offseason together. I can ball out, opt out. I want more money. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think so too. But the way he spun it was like, I'm so willing to take less. But come on, man. Almost no one's ever. Even when Tom Brady kicked the can down the road, so he's always constantly getting a little influx of cash. But to be fair, Brady doing that allowed the Patriots to be great for a long, long time.
What if Russell Westbrook would have opted out and taken less money? Would you look at that differently?
If he did what Harden did, in other words, like actually he takes a little more money, but he extends, but it's less money this year.
Yes.
I don't know if that helps the Lakers because they're all capped out. He would have to take a whole bunch less.
Okay.
And I don't think Westbrook probably at this moment, I don't know, he's a very confident guy, but I imagine he thinks, I might not get, like Harden thinks, come on, the bottom line is Harden can shoot and Westbrook can't.
Harden,
that age
to
is
me,
better.
Harden is betting on himself right here. He's betting on himself. Which I got all the respect. What we talked about is 2.5 years ago, this dude was in Houston. He came into training camp, was literally out of shape, was pictures of him being posted at different hip-hop clubs with rappers, hanging out, not giving a damn, to going to Brooklyn, to seeing what Brooklyn was about, and then finding out that's not the way I want to do it, to getting his way out of Brooklyn. And now he's with Daryl Morey, who he trusts. To me, this is a bigger sign about star players being with management in which they trust and believe
and
in
comfortable
to
in
help them win a world championship. Like, Daryl Morey's the only guy that potentially would have had James Harden do this, that could get him to do something like this. It's a bigger statement.
Man, what did he turn down in Houston? What did they offer him? Was it $50 million?
It was $50 million a year.
Oh, my goodness. In a state that's tax-free, too.
And Brooklyn. He turned down the extension in Brooklyn, too. He's turned down both extensions 2 years.
To get with somebody he's comfortable with.
Yes. Oof. So, I mean, you tell me what else you need him to do. And he's saying all the right things, but now we're still cynical. Okay, I get it.
Well, cynical only because people a lot of times frame things as though they're not self-interested and they're almost always actually self-interested.
But you can be both.
I agree. I think that's the way, you know, a muscular move, you do more than one thing with each move, right? Like, you're a chess player, Jay. Mm-hmm. You know, the move doesn't just defend, it attacks, and it does a whole bunch of things at once. And he did put himself in a position and put the team in a position where when you add, like, House is an underrated player to me. No one ever talks about anything, but he's talented. And Tucker, obviously,
everyone
knows. And,
by the way, they can still potentially add a piece. Don't think that Eric Gordon being out there in Houston, Daryl Morey is going to try to save him.
What? Who's familiar with Eric Gordon and
he's
going
to try to save him. And
that
plays well off Joel Embiid. You ain't doubling off that. Danny Green is older. I'm telling you. It plays. There's still moves to be made now by Daryl Morey. He's not done.
I love the D'Anthony Melton move.
That's a great move.
Because that's instant offense coming off the bench.
Hey, what's up with Thybulle? Did they move him?
No,
they hung on to Thybulle. Yeah, because he needs to develop. He needs to shoot it a little better.
It's not that he has to shoot it better. You have to score at least 8 points. You can give me 8 from just layups or 10 from layups. Like, he has to be, like, you can't be starting and having 0 and 2 points a game.
The reason I say shoot is because he is a, like, I could, in 10 years from now, 20, 30 years from now, if someone says, best defenders, I'd be like, yo, that kid Thybulle was ridiculous, right? He's a ridiculous defender. If he could just shoot, he becomes so valuable.
Just feel like right now, Boston, probably the favorite in the East, adding Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm.
Philly
a huge
right
pickup.
There.
What?
Miami right there.
Boston the favorite over Milwaukee?
I was going to say Boston. I was going to name a team score right there.
Oh, okay.
I would probably give a – well, considering they went to the World Championship, even though I think with Chris Middleton, they would have been – they would have won.
They'd have won, yeah.
But still, like, I'm giving
you thought
the
Celtics would have won?
Huh?
You thought the Celtics would have won?
No, Chris? I thought Milwaukee would have won.
Hey, Jay, here's the question. With Middleton, would they have right beaten the Warriors?
Yeah. It would have been close.
I think it would have been.
It would have been really close.
It would have been. By the way, Steph Curry should send a thank you note to Chris Middleton.
Grant Williams did say something in the pod the other day that he feels like the Warriors weren't the better team. They were the more disciplined team. I kind of disagree with that, but the discipline of Milwaukee is better than the discipline of the Boston Celtics because of their youth.
Yep. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. 49ers give Garoppolo's agent, Jimmy G's agent, permission to seek a trade. Which team should make the biggest push to land him?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Keith, what we're about to find out in this next series for me in the Eastern Conference, like Man in the Arena, like that whole, like Shibago, like that is.
Shibago.
Yeah.
I'm into Shibago.
Yeah, it happened again.
I'm into Shibago. Like a shebang, but not exactly a shebang, a whole bag of shebang. Yeah, Shibago.
It was a Shibago.
Not a Shibago. That's the whole bag. A Shibago is like a debacle. You changed the pronunciation and the meaning.
Whatever, I was making
the whole
a joke
deal.
Jay.
It was an absolute Shibago for the Suns in Game 7.
Mount up.
God, I love this song too.
Oh, this is what? Warren G and Nate?
Nate is just out of control, man. Nate was out of control.
A little West Coast swing right there.
You know who used to love this song?
West Side on the LBC. Mr. Warren G.
What? Yeah, I mean, this song was insane.
I mean, walking down the street with my Walkman, like I was that dude, like I was him.
But Nate Dogg was that guy, man.
Oh, was he that guy? I can't take the fact that he's not around anymore. So I got, you know, Brian Kenny, who's on MLB Network, was at ESPN for years. We did Friday Night Fights together. So we're in his, he had a place in Bristol. His family lived in Bristol.
I can't believe.
Warren's wealth.
They took my Rolex. I said, damn, what's next?
Okay, go on, man.
So I'm playing him. So he wants to play his music. I'm like, Brian, I just knew he would love this song. I played him the song. And he's trying to front for a minute. Then he goes, all right. The thing that got him was when Nate goes, now the yelling and the screaming, it's a tad bit late. It's a tad bit late. He loved that.
Oh, so good.
You know, sometimes someone brings a new perspective to something, and it makes you think, like, yeah, that is like maybe the best part of the song. Now the yelling and the screaming, it's a tad bit late.
I love this.
Should have started yelling and started yelling and screaming before this set off, right?
Yeah. That's what I love about music. It just brings you back to moments in your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and you just you naturally go there. You feel like I'm right. I'm there. I'm in this moment of history, and that's what it happens all the time.
Sounds. You know what else? Smells, man. You'd like pass a bakery or something that you did when you were a kid, something like that, bring you right back.
Mm-hmm.
49ers, Jay. Here it is. The 49ers. By the way, you can see I'm hungry, right? Why did I take it to the bakery? I'm hungry. We were talking about music and sounds, and immediately I'm like, yeah, you're not the only one eating
it. Jay, you have some of those Cheerios you just mentioned?
Oh, yeah. They're oh so good.
I know.
Nope, I'm starving myself since I haven't. Oh, I'm cleared to work out. I get to go back to the gym.
Is it starving yourself? Is that working for you?
Yeah, absolutely, because I knew if I couldn't work out. No, I lost probably about 8 pounds just by not eating breakfast and waiting.
This is what I'm worried. Probably about? Or
well, I'm saying it's more than 5 under 10, right? So
Have you been keeping track of how much weight you lost?
So, okay, man. So I could have said 7. I could have said 7, but I gave myself the extra 8, you know? I put it on the other side. All right.
Oh, man.
So the Niners gave Jimmy Garoppolo, his agents, permission to seek a trade. Who should be making the biggest push to get him, Harry?
Right at the top of my head, I think the Seattle Seahawks. I look at the Seattle Seahawks, and you look at who they have the quarterback position. They have Drew Lock, and they have why am I drawing a blank right now?
Can't help you on that one. I forgot.
Geno Smith.
Yeah.
They have Geno Smith. I do not believe – now, I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are going to contend at a level to where you say playoff and they could potentially win a Super Bowl. No, I do not think that. But when I look at their roster – they do have a Tyler Lockett. They have a DK Metcalf. With the Russell Wilson trade, you have a Noah Fant, a tight end, young tight end that's up and coming. You have some pieces.
Jimmy, get something done over there.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't think – I'm trying to figure out the mindset, and they have a run game, right?
I thought that's where Baker was going. I thought Baker was headed to Seattle.
But I don't see how Seattle's going to go into the season and say, okay, Geno Smith and Drew Lock are our quarterbacks.
Can't be. Mm-hmm. Cannot be.
Like, are they playing to – get one of these young quarterbacks that's going to be entering the draft next year?
Unless they're doing that. Unless they're tanking the season.
But another
NFL
team,
doesn't do that really, though.
Another team I would say, and it all depends on the Deshaun Watson and how he's suspended. Deshaun Watson is suspended for a season. Clear cut, I think the Cleveland Browns need to go get Jimmy Garoppolo because they have a Super Bowl roster, a team that can win right now. And it's not like the learning curve, learning the offense for Jimmy G will be at a steep point because Kevin Stefanski came from – the Mike Shanahan tree.
Well, that's a great point.
So it's not like he had to learn a
can they afford Garoppolo with all the money they just paid Watson? If they could figure out a way to do that, they could mess around and win the Super Bowl with Garoppolo.
Yes.
He came a pass away.
Can I give you another team that I think should aggressively approach it? And I'm sure people are going to tear this down, but I look at the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
They're a quarterback away, it feels like, from going next level.
Yep.
And I like Ryan Tannehill, but seeing him in the postseason, like a lot of the games that they've won, it's because they've had a dominant run game. And I look at Jimmy G, he's 4 years younger. He is a better game manager. And him with Mike Vrabel, that defense with the run game, the pieces feel like they work. And Tennessee is such an interesting team to me because I like Ryan Tannehill, but I don't believe Ryan Tannehill can get them over the hump where I've seen Jimmy G get his team to the Super Bowl in a similar style offense.
Know what I think? That's exactly right. But, Harry, you know what I think? What Jay is talking about, what the problem is? When it comes down to it, evaluators are very close to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they need to step back. Like in the media, we have a different perspective. We're removed from it. When you're close to it, if you see Tannehill and Jimmy G working out together, going through the paces, you're going to prefer Tannehill. He's bigger, faster, stronger, younger. You know, he can throw it. It's the kind of stuff that when you step back and you look at the big picture, you go, but actually – Jimmy G is that dude.
He's a gamer.
He gets the ball out quick.
You can literally make the argument, Max, that if a defensive back catches an interception in the NFC Championship game,
the 49ers are going back to the Super Bowl again this year.
He actually, when you look at who's gone the farthest in the playoffs, the last two, healthy, when they've been around. Jimmy G has been healthy two of the last three seasons. He came a pass away from winning the Super Bowl, and he came a play away from getting back to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's pretty good.
When they had the duos up there the other day, and I was on This Year's Sandwich with you, I had a chance to think about it. And I don't know why Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan wasn't on that list.
Oh, the coach, you're right.
I don't know why they weren't on that list. Before a lot of other people that was on that list.
What was the list?
Coach quarterback.
Top duo. Coach quarterback duos.
So Mahomes and Andy Reid are light years ahead of everyone. And then the issue becomes, we're not just talking about great quarterback, good coach, or great coach, okay quarterback. So, like, next is probably Rodgers and LaFleur, but they have not had playoff success.
Yep.
And then
Jackson
who else?
Harbor.
I would have put
They were underrated. Jackson and Harbaugh really underrated.
I would have to put McVay and Stafford. Absolutely. Because they put all the chips in, and they bet on Matthew Stafford, and they went and won the Super Bowl.
Now, they had more than the Green Bay Packers.
You know who I'd have put fourth, though? Shanahan and Jimmy G.
Well, have Jackson and Harbaugh?
I don't know
about that. They've gotten to a Super Bowl. Jackson and Harbaugh only have one playoff win.
Listen, what is indisputably true is that when you do people try to say, well, it's not causation, it's just correlation. It's not because of Jimmy G, it's just, but let's do some correlation here. What you just said, they were to get, last two times he's healthy, he gets farther than just about anybody else. Maybe the overall best resume, pass away from winning, and also get back, play away from getting back.
And
then
the 2020 then, when he got hurt, they were nothing San Francisco.
Right, this is what I always say about him, guys. Look at Jimmy, if he's just a little bit above replacement, if he's okay, you can find a guy like that, and it's all Shanahan. Why is Shanahan's winning percentage like 25-30% when Jimmy G's not there, but when Jimmy G is there, it's 65-70%? It's flipped. Why is that? Because Jimmy G's doing good. Something.
That's why I keep going back to Tennessee, because in return, if you got a guy like Ryan Tannehill who has that experience, he could be on the sideline to help nurture and build with a guy like, you know, Trey Lance. Like that relationship could help.
Look
he can
at
help
this
build
list.
That. I don't know. It just yesterday Jay. Talking to my boys about HD. It seemed like I don't know logistically how you make all that stuff happen. Like,
and I don't think Tennessee would do it, especially drafting Malik Willis as well. But I was at that Cincinnati game, and I played for the Titans for 3 years, and I thought them getting the number one seed. I really thought they were going to the Super Bowl. But when you have the first pass of the game be an interception, you have the first drive of the second half result in an interception. You have the last play for you offensively of the game be an interception. And you sack the quarterback 9 times in a playoff game and you lose. It's hard for me to get over that.
Yeah, just average quarterback. Hard, but look, average quarterback play wins. Put that graphic back up, guys, because we're on ESPN too, obviously, too. Look at this. So Mahomes and Reed, so far, the best winning percentage as a starting quarterback. Not really fair to compare to Brady and Staubach and Montana because you don't have as long a run, right? Yep. And so it's sometimes easier if you have a good team together to have that high winning percentage. But it's still amazing what
Number
Mahomes
three.
And Reed. Brady and Jack Brady.
But the only reason I will put Shanahan and Jimmy G above Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson is playoff success.
No, I'm not even comparing.
I'm just saying, period. Yeah,
I'm not comparing Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh to Garoppolo and Shanahan. What I'm saying is Shanahan and Garoppolo are on the all-time list.
Yes, crazy.
Like, look at this. This is insane.
33-14.
Yep.
33-14. But again, guys, for a team like Joe Montana, 117-47, for a team that then had Steve Young. Okay, it's not fair because it was Steve Young, who also did very well when he left. Jimmy Garoppolo is 33-14 for a team that's basically 14-33 when he's not there. And what he's not big, he's not fast, he doesn't have a big arm, but he reads defenses, he gets the ball out quick.
Can I tell y'all a story? So I think it was 2017 was my last year in the NFL, and we went on a West Coast trip. We played the Arizona Cardinals. I was with the Titans. We lost that game. We're going to San Francisco, and that's when San Francisco were losing a lot of games straight.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo comes and played quarterback, and I think that's when they won, like 4 or 5 games
the end
of the
year. Five
in a row, yeah. And I said to myself, why in the hell did Jimmy G have to come back and play the end of the season? Like, I literally said that on the sidelines. Like, why in the hell did Jimmy G have to come back during this season or during this game?
They couldn't buy a win all year.
Why couldn't it be
Jimmy G takes the ball 5-0.
Saying the dude finds a way to win.
Finds a way to win.
All the time.
Was 2-0 with the Patriots. Was 5-0 with San Francisco to start his career, and then he goes to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And look, I'm not saying Jimmy G is like the next best thing since
sliced bread. No, he's not, but he knows
like
how to win.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people talk about, when you think about quarterbacks, what they can't do, right? And I feel like people naturally start there with Jimmy G because he didn't get them over the hump.
Yep.
Instead of actually seeing the body of work and letting that speak for itself when he is healthy. Tell me about what your quarterback can do and how he makes your team better.
This is something that happens in life so often, not just in sports, but like in baseball. Well, the third baseman, I don't know, back in the day, can't charge the bunt. Yeah, but he has a high on-base percentage and he's rangy, right? Like everyone likes to focus on the expression is the perfect is the enemy of the good. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't, we can't change the way we do this playoff format because look at this drawback. Yeah, it's not perfect. We get it. There are trade-offs, but it's better. You can focus on what Jimmy G can't do all you want, but the bottom line is, remember when I made that list of 13 quarterbacks who are different? If Jimmy G's not in that list, he's number one of the next tier.
I agree. And Harry, so in Ryan Tannehill's two postseason career wins versus the Pats, 8 for 15, 72 yards, one TD, one interception.
Listen.
Versus the Ravens, 7 for 14, 88 yards, and two touchdowns.
So Derrick Henry, in those games, and I know we're going to talk about Derrick Henry a little bit later, but in those against the Patriots, Derrick Henry had 182 yards rushing. Against the Ravens, he had 195.
What I'm saying.
In the playoffs, brother. In the playoffs.
And you know he's getting the football.
In the playoffs, and like there, when you see a clutch back, you don't usually think of running backs as like clutch, but actually, yeah, Leonard Fournette in the playoffs, Derrick Henry in the playoffs,
here
who
it comes,
shows up in the playoffs?
Stop it.
Here it comes, stopping, and nothing you could do.
It's like Derrick Henry and Giannis. It's like, all right, you know what's happening. Good luck.
Now, by the way, a lot of that's the offensive line, of course, right? Of course, but some of it's running back
too, man.
But it's the top end speed once he breaks away. It's
second level because of size and everything.
Listen, corners and secondary guys, they're making business decisions when you see Derrick Henry come to that second level. Business decision. Do I want to get ran over? Do I want my neck broke? Do I want to get embarrassed? Do I want to be like Josh Norman and all these guys get embarrassed on Sports and on ESPN? No. They making business decisions.
You remember the movie Predator?
Yeah.
I remember seeing Danny Glover.
That was Predator 2.
Predator 2, that's right. I remember I met Derrick Henry the first time. I'm like, damn, this dude, that's how like
Predator
stood over Danny Glover. Just like 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. Just, I'm like, and he can run as fast as I can? You know, or faster?
See,
what is going on?
What I love about his game is that seeing him up and close and personal for a few years while I was in Tennessee and seeing him now, I love how agile he's become. I love how more dynamic he's become. And you can just see the growth in him as a player and his mindset. Mm. But he's always been a no-nonsense type of guy. He's a strictly business type person. Like, that's his mindset. He wants to grind. He wants to work hard. He's always looking for feedback. It's times where I would text him certain things here and there. He'll be like, you know what? You're right, big bro. I got to get better at that. There's no ego with him. Mm. Like, that's what I love about D. Hen. Like, that's one of my favorite teammates that I've had in my entire life.
Wow. Plus, you know what else I love? I love when dudes who are, like, physically just overwhelming call the little guy big bro.
You love that, huh?
Like, yeah, I'm your big bro. You're right. I am.
Big fella. Listen, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for Key today, who's posting pictures of his vacation on Instagram if you want to check it out.
Where's he at? Where's Key at?
He's somewhere.
He's in Cabo.
That's right. He's somewhere with blue water.
He got that loan money, don't he?
It's not for us to talk about his business.
He throws plane tickets nowadays.
Don't post it on Instagram.
$1,500. Key got that loan money.
But Key's like, I'm not in social media, but you're posting.
You brought up Predator 2, by the way. Because I wore this shirt looked like it's Top Gun. I walked in today and everyone said that I've never seen Top Gun.
The sunglasses really dope.
Sunglasses, because you have the
aviators.
But you're not really Maverick. You're more Iceman.
I've never seen Top Gun.
You're more Iceman.
Never seen it. Never seen it. No interest.
You could be my wingman anytime.
So
yeah, you have more.
So we were talking about movies we hadn't seen, right? The stuff
How
that we missed.
How can you not see Top Gun?
I had no interest in. It's just one of those movies that slipped through the cracks, and then a couple years later, I'm like, I don't need to see Top Gun.
But don't watch the new one until you watch the original first.
I have a better deal for you. I'll watch neither one of them. How's that?
Man,
try that one.
Max. Right, here, this dinner bill's gonna be high.
But
I don't like your attitude, Max. This damn dinner bill's
gonna
be high.
But you brought up Predator 2.
Uh-huh.
I remember going to see Predator 2 with like my best friend back in the day, and he was like, yo. If it took Arnold Schwarzenegger all movie to beat one predator,
we have no chances in society.
Like, he's like, no, no. He's like, Danny Glover must have to just talk him out of it or something. And yo, I swear to God, that's what happened. That's what happened. Danny Glover went in and talked him out of it. You remember? But I refer to that movie all the time because when he got on the spaceship, he looked around and you saw the pelts on the wall. Predator had E.T., had Yoda, or whoever.
Yeah, everybody.
All the sci-fi action flicks.
Yoda.
He had whatever he had all the
Yoda's
ones.
Yoda's like a foot tall.
Whatever.
Most predators.
Oh, Yoda. You can't mess with Yoda. But he had a alien, right?
And, yeah, alien, yeah.
And
oh,
that always.
Predator versus
I
alien.
Always
ref- so good.
So good. So I good. Always refer to that because that's how I see it in competition, not just boxing one on one stuff like that, but in basketball. One of the reasons basketball is barbershop talk more than any other team sport is because you can, whether or not you should, people reduce it to a single player, mm-hmm. right? It's Jordan versus LeBron versus Kobe, Shaq, whoever. And I think of that way when I see an era. Who has whose pelt on the wall?
Dude, I'll never forget playing against the Wizards my rookie year. Jordan had me on the pinch post and literally told me three possessions in a row how he was going to score on me.
I do that to Jay every day on this
show.
But
I'm sorry, even watching the Drew League, Bron is driving down the lane in transition, left hand. I'm like, here comes a spin. Everybody in the gym knows
can't stop
his patent spin move is about to happen. Does a spin, you see three guys right down. Ain't nobody stopping it. Oh, no. Stop it.
Too difference strong. Is that's in the Drew League against dudes with day jobs. Jordan did it to you when he was 100 years old.
Well, Bron's doing it to dudes.
No, no, Bron is... Bron is still the best. He's still the best player in the world.
So MJ sunned you.
Oh, yeah, he sunned me for sure.
But and it happens to the best.
It's psychological warfare. I'm like, is he really going to do it? Like the first time, like, he ain't really going
to
do it.
It's because you went to Duke. You
I know, but then he does it. And then the second time, you're like, all right, now
he'll do it again.
Is he going to do it again? And the third time, I was like, he really going to do it? And I still couldn't. I missed it. But, like, that's the mental part of the game, too.
He got Jay Will's pelt on his wall. Yeah.
It's all good.
Max is hilarious.
Going to the
come on, Iceman.
Gotta talk him out of it.
Come on, Iceman. I gotta find out who's the Iceman character.
We'll be back in a matter of moments. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.